First impressions aren't the most important thing. They're the only thing. At Ernie's Print Shop, we'll produce what you need to represent your company professionally. Right now, you can get 1,000 full-color business cards, 1,000 4x6 postcards, or a 3x5 banner for just $60. You choose. Check us out at erniesprintshop.com. Ernie's Print Shop. Over 50 years, one source, one solution. erniesprintshop.com. 502-969-8585.
Being a victim of crime is no joke, but you do have options that can help you avoid becoming a victim. I'm Ed Springsteen of the My View Matters radio show, and on behalf of myself and co-host Ed Martin, I urge each of you to help us fight against crime. You can do your part by calling Crime Stoppers at 582-CLUE. Since 1982, Crime Stoppers has helped get over 23,000 criminals off the street with your help. Working together, we can make a difference to take our streets back. Please call Crime Stoppers at 582-CLUE, or you can visit them online at www.582clue.com. Remember, Crime Stoppers always offers up to a $1,000 reward. Get involved and help make a positive change in your neighborhood. Thanks.
Advertisers, here's a great way to reach a quality audience. Get heard on My View Matters and make some noise in the marketplace.
Email myviewmatters@aol.com for advertising opportunities. Make a sound investment.
So, I want you to get up now. I want all of you to get up out of your chairs. I want you to get up right now and go to the window, open it, and stick your head out and yell, "I'm as mad as hell, and I'm not going to take this anymore!"
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome once again to the Ed Springsteen Show, brought to you by the MVM Radio Network, home of LouisvillePolitics.com and EdSpringsteen.com, where you can go for all the latest replays of this show or any other stories we have going on. While you're at LouisvillePolitics.com, please join our email newsletter and our RSS feed. We'll make sure that your email gets delivered to you on a weekly or monthly basis, your choice. And the RSS feed will ensure that you get a copy of every show as soon as we get done with them, and a reminder of when we go live. I tell you, well, first things first, I guess I almost skipped you here, but the call-in numbers, as always, 858-683-1326 or 502-805-0334. And for you guys in the listening queue, thank you. There's always a dozen of you guys or more every night in the listening queue. We really appreciate it. But while you're there listening, if you have a comment you want to make, please hit the number one on your dial pad, and we'll try to get you on air just as soon as we can. And I say we, but it's always me. I run this show on Thursday night, so, you know, it's not like we have Ed Martin or anybody else to worry about. So we got plenty of time. We'll try to get you on as long as you have something relevant to say. You know, I always hate those guys that call in and want to start running their mouth and acting like doofuses instead of, you know, getting into real conversation. But, hey, that's why we screen calls, right? I tell you, folks, there's so much going on. It's unbelievable, as usual. And I don't see a situation where that's ever going to change. One quick story I'm not going to put a lot of talk into, but just to point out, turns out that the Metro Council does have subpoena powers. Yep, you heard me right. Apparently, during the Metro Council meeting, it was noted that the Metro Council itself does have subpoena power, so they can force you and compel you to come testify in front of them, unlike, you know, the Ethics Commission, for example. And it's really interesting what's going on with all of that. That conversation is interesting because of Jake Payne over at the Bill Voice. Go over there and check that out. I just put a link in the chat room if you want to. Normally, I don't give a lot of credit to Jake. Well, I do on some things. He does a hell of a job on animal control, and I got to give him props for that one. But, you know, when we look at this story, he had a great story out today, and he also has some great videos attached to the comments within his story on this. Apparently, according to Jake, Jim King got his rear end handed to him. The hearing was over. They were talking about LMAS and some other things last night. And Jim King, his own attorneys, in the county attorney's office, his own attorneys, told him he was full of crap, basically, on more than one occasion. Jim King right now is trying to carry Greg Fisher's water. I think that is very, very obvious. These guys are a lot closer than they want anybody to believe they are. We know this to be true, or at least we think we do, anyway. But it's fascinating because there are a lot of rumors out there, and I won't go into a lot of detail on these rumors, but there are a lot of rumors out there that his daughter Katie, who got pregnant and now has, a baby or whatever, that there is a serious custody battle going on between her and the baby daddy. And King is scared that something might come of that. So maybe that's why he's against the subpoena powers. I don't know. That's really not me. But it's very, very interesting that the King is trying to squash the LMAS investigation because he knows that this investigation is going to take out Sadiqua Reynolds and Greg Fisher. But that should not be a surprise. Greg Fisher does a lot of things behind the scenes, in my opinion. And I'm going to give you another reason why. I'm just going to go there right now. The other night, we had spent some time talking about Judge Gina K. Calvert and how Judge Calvert got caught in an unethical situation violating the Judicial Conduct Commission's own canons by essentially campaigning from the bench since she is up for re-election. She has an opponent. This is an 11th Division Court. It's Gina K. Calvert versus Susan Jones is her opponent in this election. And she got caught in her courtroom calling, attorneys up to the bench to whine and moan and groan and complain about not getting the FOP endorsement. Her excuse for this was that these are guys that she considers campaign advisors, etc. You can't do that. You can't campaign from the bench. It's a definite unethical situation. But what makes this thing so much more interesting now, and the reason that I bring it back up, is because of a very interesting development last night. I have people everywhere, folks. Even in places that I can't personally show up to. It is very interesting what kind of information you get back. And you're going to like this, because last night, there was a meeting at the Old Louisville Democrat Club. John Yarmuth was brought in as a speaker last night. And they had one hell of a time getting people to show up. Matter of fact, the turnout was very, very small, but that's not the story. We have spent a lot of time bringing you up to speed on a case that involves Mayor Greg Fisher. A lawsuit has been brought against Mayor Greg Fisher by former Ford employee Jay Morgan. It is a private lawsuit against Mayor Greg Fisher concerning libel, slander, and a few other things. We have also told you that Ford Motor Company, for some reason, has decided to join in the fray and to work with Greg Fisher on this private lawsuit. We have also brought to you and let you know that the county attorney's office is wasting time and resources, taxpayer money, time and resources, as well as we're paying independent attorneys to defend Greg Fisher in this lawsuit. And it's the first time I know of, and I follow many, many lawsuits, folks, many, many cases we have to with what we do, right? It's the first time that I know of that this thing, that we've got a case that has been brought before a judge close to a year ago now. It's been months and months ago. And they still have not even allowed the case to be started yet. There has been no depositions. There's been no discovery. There has been nothing more than delay, delay, delay by frivolous motions to dismiss based on the same set of facts that the judge has already ruled against more than one time, the judge in this case being Mitch Perry. So this is a very serious case. It's designed to break Jay Morgan financially, which isn't going to happen, folks. Trust me, I know where his bank is at. I know people. He's got enough to handle these guys. But the object is to delay this case until after the November elections or the first of the year. So they continue coming up with this frivolous dismissal claims based on the same set of circumstances. And Ford, for some reason, got directly involved. Now, I just took you a big round robin way around the situation. You guys are wondering, why is he bouncing back and forth? The reason I'm bouncing back and forth is I want to give you a good look at this picture. Because last night at the old Louisville Democrat Club meeting, in which John Yarmuth spoke to a handful of people because they couldn't even get enough people that wanted to come to listen to him speak, lo and behold, attorney Joel Frocht, F-R-O-C-K-T, was in attendance. Joel Frocht is one of the attorneys defending Greg Fisher in this lawsuit. Now, why do I bring yet another name into this? Because it's a small world, folks. Judge Gina K. Calvert's husband is Joel Frocht, the same judge who illegally campaigned from the bench. And you're still asking yourself, what the hell does that have to do with anything? Because Joel Frocht is representing Greg Fisher in this lawsuit against Jay Morgan. And in a limited attendance event that had plenty of open seating, Joel Frocht decided that he and his wife should be sitting with none other than Councilman David James and his wife. Councilman David James is a key witness listed by Jay Morgan, the plaintiff. Councilman David James is a witness for Jay Morgan in this lawsuit, and he is sitting with the attorney who is fighting against Jay Morgan. Does anybody see a problem with this? You don't believe that there is some sort of collusion going on here? I do. Joel Frocht reached out to Councilman James, according to sources, because his wife is in trouble in her re-election effort against Susan Jones. David James is what you would consider a very good Democrat. Now, I have never, ever told anybody other than the truth. I am a friend of David James, or at least I believe we are. And I know David James' character. At least I believe I do. I think David James is one of the best people we've got. But Greg Fisher's attorney, who is trying to do everything they possibly can to delay a case that they know they're going to lose and cost themselves millions of dollars, or they should cost themselves millions of dollars. This game has been played by the Democratic establishment and the insiders ever since the very beginning. Any other case, they would have already had depositions, discovery, and a first daggone day in court by now. You don't delay based over some stupid little dismissal three different times for the same dismissal. But you think that Ford Motor Company involved themselves into this situation in the first place is beyond laughable, because they weren't named as any part of this lawsuit against Greg Fisher in a private capacity. To think that our county attorney is doing all of this work, to think that Joel Frocht is working on behalf of Greg Fisher, and to think that it's okay for this defense attorney to sit with a key witness in a court case that this attorney is going to be defending, to me is beyond coincidental, folks. It really is. I want to know what you think about that. Am I wrong? I don't think so. I don't see how I could be wrong. A defense attorney doesn't sit with a key witness that's going to be involved in an upcoming case. It just doesn't happen. It just doesn't happen. Welcome to the Democratic Mafia in Louisville. Welcome to it. One more example of it. Gina K. Calvert. Remember that name. 11th Division Court. Really, really, folks, look at Susan Jones as a viable candidate. Because if we've got a judge that's going to campaign from the bench, and her defense attorney husband doesn't think that there's anything ethically or morally wrong with sitting and chatting up a witness that's going to be on a stand against a case that he's involved in, tells me a whole hell of a lot about that family, what they believe in honor, integrity, and ethics. I'm very concerned with that. I really am. And quite honestly, I'm looking into the law right now because I would love nothing better. And well, you know, quite frankly, I tell you what, sometime in the next week to 10 days, we're just going to go ahead and expose the whole game. We're going to expose everything about Ford Motor Company and their involvement in this lawsuit, things that I've really felt obligated to withhold because, you know, it's just the way it is. You don't always go out there until you have something to go out there with. But I've got plenty of evidence, plenty of questions for Ford Motor Company. Bill Ford himself at Ford Motor Company will be given the opportunity to respond. I'm not going to deal with his flunkies. We're going to go straight to Mark Fields and Bill Ford. Mark Fields is the one who runs Ford right now, so let's just go straight to them. Trust me, you flunkies at Ford Motor Company who think you know everything, I've got direct access. They'll either go on the record or they won't. But I think it's time to expose what's really going on here and find out if there really is a hidden agenda and a hidden collusion effort between Mayor Greg Fisher, Ford Motor Company, and this local Democratic mafia, because this is sickening to me. It is really sickening to me. So we're going to get in the middle of that. But that's why you needed to know. We also brought you the story the other day about the shooting at Fern Creek High School. And I tell you, I am still disturbed by this shooting. And one of the things that really, I'm reading a story today at WFPL. I'll put a link in there for you guys that are in the chat room. For everybody else, just go to WFPL.org and you'll find it when you want to find it. But, you know, it's a story in Jefferson County Public Schools and Louisville Metro Police plan to review school safety procedures following the shooting Tuesday of a student at Fern Creek High School. Well, let's get this much straight, okay? Superintendent Donna Hargens goes on a record and says, schools are supposed to be safe, and normally JCPS schools are safe. It was the first school shooting in JCPS history. It's not the first violent act in our schools. This one was just because it involved a gun for the first time. They decided they couldn't hide that anymore. You know, the shooter, from what I'm being told from confidential sources, the shooter was a black male who was pissed off because he got screwed on a bad theft deal. And what I mean by that is the black male was the shooter. Another black male had decided to buy a stolen iPad or some sort of stolen item from the shooter and paid the shooter with a fake $100 bill. That's what caused the problem. The shooter decided to confront that individual, told him to make good on $100. The individual, apparently, from what I'm being told, you know, beat the shooter or something, so the shooter decided to pull a gun and play that game. Except the person who screwed him, if you will, on a deal, didn't get shot. An innocent white guy got shot. An innocent white kid, from what I'm being told. You know, whether the victim who got shot was black or white to me is irrelevant. You know, there's somebody in the chat room now saying it was black on black crime. You know, it was still an innocent bystander. The guy should have never been in school. But the interesting thing to me is, you know, this story is going national, and Yvette Gentry, the assistant chief that I have been very, very critical about and still very critical about, I think she's worthless in that capacity. I think she should have been replaced a long time ago. But she's getting all this great credit for doing such a great job with this, and yet I have a problem with the job that was done. National media is making it out like some heroic story. This wasn't a shooter. This wasn't, you know, the shooting spree type of violence you're used to seeing. you know, Columbine, you know, up in Connecticut and all the other places around the country. We haven't seen that. This was one guy who was pissed off over a bad deal, decided he wanted to get even. It was a targeted shooting. He missed his target and hit one innocent bystander, then fled the scene. Yvette Gentry is being praised as some kind of a hero. And I've got a problem with that, and here's why. Because while the police, the school district, and all these city officials are trying to set her up for some sort of Obama presidential award, and don't think they're not going to try to do that. That's just the way it is. It's definitely on the agenda. Okay? And while Deputy Chief Gentry goes on record to say that they have, for years, trained for shooting incidents in a school, and talking about all of these different things that they have done, see, now I've got a problem. Because yesterday, within 3 minutes, according to all reports, within 3 minutes, the school was put on lockdown. Students were shuffled into classrooms, door locked, etc. SWAT team came through, checked off the classrooms, made sure the shooter wasn't in there. And a very short time later, we saw all these students walking out with their hands over their head, cuffed together on the top of their head, like you normally see criminals, you know. Single file, like ducks in a row. At a time when we had not, one, identified a shooter, two, able to guarantee or verify that there was, you know, no one else around. They had not apprehended the shooter. There was no way to definitively prove that this shooter was not on the premises somewhere. And I know they're going to talk about protocol and outer perimeters, inner perimeters, and all of that crap, but come on. Everybody went to school. If you didn't know somewhere in your school where you could hide and chase and follow behind somebody, you haven't lived, folks. You haven't lived. You know your house or school, if you will, a hell of a lot better than LAPD does. So by not ensuring that the shooter or shooters at this point, we knew we had one shooter who said he didn't have help, right? Based on an educated guess, there was only one shooter. He fired off one shot and he took off running. That's all we knew. And these children were being filed outside into potential harm's way. And you're getting praised for sending kids outside while a shooter is on the loose in the area because you haven't apprehended them. You don't know where they're at. And that's where I've got a problem at. That's where I've got a major problem at. I don't get that. Now, Gentry says, you know, now that it's happened here, we're going to take our lessons and we're going to get better. Well, I hope we get a hell of a lot better. But don't start talking to me about praising, you know, what a great job this was, when in my opinion, and the opinion of many people throughout this community I've spoken with today, they're all livid that these kids were allowed out of school like that, out in the open like that, when the shooter had not been apprehended yet. The shooter wasn't apprehended until 3 hours later. Hargens was asked if they were going to put metal detectors, you know, to the school someday. And Superintendent Hargan said that isn't normally the practice because you could slip a gun through a door or through something else, and I agree. Metal detectors aren't going to stop you getting a gun into school if you want to get it. And Greg Fisher, of course, has to turn it into some sort of thing. I don't know, gun control maybe. I don't know what he's thinking. But Greg Fisher, our illustrious mayor, who is working in collusion with Ford Motor Company, in my opinion, to try to keep from getting nailed for millions of dollars that he probably owes, again, in my opinion. Greg Fisher says that the shooting is just the latest example of reckless and cowardly use of guns in our society. Reckless and cowardly use of guns in our society. Okay. I'll go with that statement. He goes on to ask the simple question, when did settling disputes with guns rather than simple dialogue become the method that people are tending to use these days? I'll answer your question, sir. simple dialogue went out the door as soon as the liberals decided to start pushing people together that didn't want to be together. When the liberals decided to start ignoring racism, when the liberals decided on something called a zero tolerance, where nobody is held accountable for anything, it's a subjective measure of discipline, when the liberals decided that you could not enforce discipline in school. There's no such thing as corporal punishment in the home or in the school. Because the liberal judges in a liberal society said you cannot hold a child accountable. Many years after the liberals decided to go down that road, those same liberal children who weren't held accountable are now the parents of these children who aren't held accountable today. When the liberals decided personal responsibility went out the window and that no one could be held accountable to anything, you created a situation where dialogue is impossible. And in many cases, violence is the first step. If my sources are correct, then what started this was you have a guy who stole something, tried to sell it, and the thief got conned by the other guy buying stolen merchandise by giving him fake money. And then they got into a fight. There's no gun involved in the fight until one side lost. You tell me nobody knew about the fight? Can you sit here and tell me that nobody knew that these two students got into a fight over this? That nobody knew about this stolen item that was the principal cause of the whole situation? Somebody knew. But we have created this society that we can't have personal responsibility and we can't hold people accountable. Our children are left to fend for themselves. Survival of the fittest, if you will. We have put these youth into a failing situation. And then we act like, wow, why would anybody use a gun? Why don't anybody talk anymore? And we get so much of that from you, Mr. Mayor, and the Democrats and Republicans. Shared responsibility here, folks. It's called the Uniparty. When you politicians sit out there and you can't even have a good, open, honest dialogue, when you sit there and attack each other and constantly bombard the airwaves with negativity, the negative attack ads, the he said, she said crap that is no better than the middle school or elementary school level that those children deal with every day, you set the example for our youth to follow. Why is simple dialogue no longer important? Because you politicians decided it wasn't. And I think most should be offended by that. I know I certainly am. What say you people? I get sick of it. I really do. When our own leadership refuses to take responsibility, just like Greg Fisher is doing in his private lawsuit against him right now, they set the example. Our 18-year-old voters today, 18-year-olds today are more involved politically than ever before, in my opinion. Our youth are coming to the political table. They are rising up to be heard and to be recognized. Not a significant enough number yet to make a solid difference. I mean a solid continuing difference. But just enough to start to be noticed and be heard. They have been raised with the no personal responsibility mentality. Now they are politically active and they're looking at these middle school and grade school crazy goons we call politicians. who wouldn't know anything about having a good dialogue. That's all about the party, regardless of which one you're involved in. The Uniparty is alive and well. But we look at this. You know, here in Kentucky, when you take the oath of office, you also take an oath that you won't have any duels or something along that effect, you know? That you're not going to have any duels or anything. And, of course, that goes way back to the old days where, you know, you had dueling and things like that, you know, whether by sword or by gun. They used to settle disputes with guns. Why do you think they're trying to take away the guns? Because they've set up a society to do this. They have set up a society where people are automatically going to the guns because they ruined dialogue. The politicians ruined dialogue. Our government ruined this country. Our elected leaders. They have divided us by race. They have divided us by social class. They have divided us by the color of our skin, the color of our shoes, and the amount of hair we have on our head. It really is simple. What eventually is going to happen, we're going to end up going back to survival of the fittest. We're going to end up going back to the old days and dueling. They need to keep that law in the books in Kentucky. It's still there. People have been fighting to get rid of it. Keep it there, because dueling might become a very big part of our soon-to-be history, or our future history, I should say. We're already seeing evidence of that when we see things like this happen in a school. And nobody knew about a fight. Nobody knew about a stolen item. Nobody knew any of this stuff before this gun ever got there. And an innocent bystander got shot and could have been killed. Oh, it could have been a lot worse. Look around the country. But we haven't learned anything from those mistakes, have we? But Yvette Gentry is sitting here getting all this praise for doing such a wonderful job. Now, I'll admit the situation could have been a lot worse, but Yvette Gentry had no control over that. The only person who had control over how much worse that situation got was the shooter himself. And until we find a way to get rid of this racism and everything else that's going on in every public school, the violence that's going on in every public school that they will not report and talk about, there are people fighting each other in public schools every day. You don't hear about those. You don't hear about the racial fights and the racial violence going on at Fern Creek High School. You don't hear it about it at Southern High School in Oklahoma either. You don't hear about all of those. It's suppressed information that leads to the fact that one person thinks they can get angry enough to walk into a door with a gun and shoot somebody. Because every day of their life, they're living in that. And I don't care if the shooter was a thief at this point. Now he's got to worry about his so-called street creds when he got his ass kicked by the other guy, if my sources are correct. I can only relay the information. I can't verify everything for you, folks. I can give you what I'm told, let you decide what you want to believe. Because we've created a society for these kids where they think that's respect. They have to get their respect by resorting to a violent nature. And when you get your ass kicked, the next logical thing is to stab or shoot someone. But if you go to stab somebody, you got to be in close contact. That kid just beat your butt. Do you want to take that chance? Now stand a few feet away and take a shot. With somebody who don't know how to shoot, they wouldn't hit an innocent bystander. Deputy Chief Gentry, Jefferson County Superintendent Donna Hargens. If you guys want to impress me, don't sit here and brag about yourselves or pat yourselves on the back. Prove something worthwhile. Start telling us the truth about what's going on in our schools. Start holding the parents accountable. Start holding your elected representatives accountable. And yes, dare I say, your JCTA teachers union accountable. Let's start teaching our kids in school. Let's start holding them accountable to discipline standards. If that means they get a pat on their backside, so be it. I wasn't innocent. I had got patted a couple of times. For two different things, though, because once I got patted the first time for something, I wasn't stupid enough to try and repeat it. I learned my lesson. But until we're willing to take a stand in our public schools, and until we're willing to let our kids know that they're going to school to get an education and it's not a social club, that they get to get on Facebook on their cell phones and send Twitter pictures out to everybody. No. No, I'm sorry. Get that crap out of our schools. These kids are there to read a damn book and learn something. Take it away. That is your fault. Not ours. And I want to see some progress because I think we deserve it. We're going to take a quick break, folks. When we get back, I know I ran it and raved, but by God, I'm getting so sick of this. I mean, I really, really am. It's just driving me nuts. Well, we're going to come back. We're going to talk about a few other things, believe it or not. Little story coming out of Courier Journal. You talk about a spin machine. I mentioned Ford and Greg Fisher and all this other stuff a few minutes ago. I'm going to let you guys, I told you guys some things a while back about a workforce and a workplace training facility, how important it was and what was going on with this. And I laid out a plan of what the game really was, and now you're getting ready to see that I was right, and I'll explain why in just a minute. You're listening to the Inspiration Show right here on the MVM Radio Network. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
First impressions aren't the most important thing. They're the only thing. At Ernie's Print Shop, we'll produce what you need to represent your company professionally. Right now, you can get 1,000 full-color business cards, 1,000 4x6 postcards, or a 3x5 banner for just $60. You choose. Check us out at erniesprintshop.com. Ernie's Print Shop, over 50 years, one source, one solution. erniesprintshop.com, 502-969-8585.
Being a victim of crime is no joke, but you do have options that can help you avoid becoming a victim. I'm Ed Springsteen of the My View Matters radio show, and on behalf of myself and co-host Ed Martin, I urge each of you to help us fight against crime. You can do your part by calling Crime Stoppers at 582-CLUE. Since 1982, Crime Stoppers has helped get over 23,000 criminals off the street with your help. Working together, we can make a difference to take our streets back. Please call Crime Stoppers at 582-CLUE, or you can visit them online at www.582clue.com. Remember, Crime Stoppers always offers up to a $1,000 reward. Get involved and help make a positive change in your neighborhood. Thanks.
Advertisers, here's a great way to reach a quality audience. Get heard on My View Matters and make some noise in the marketplace.
Email myviewmatters@aol.com for advertising opportunities. Make a sound investment.
Oh, my goodness, I tell you, folks. Sometimes you get so wound up, you just don't want to shut up. And I'm sorry, but that's just the way it has to be. Another story that I really didn't talk about, we're going to have to talk about it, because I just really don't see a way around it. Our good friend Paul Holliger over Stop It brought this to my attention. I forgot to mention it earlier. But we're talking about shootings and the police and what they should be doing in prevention versus, showing up after the fact. We have a report coming out of WDRB. There was an 8-hour SWAT standoff by LMPD against a 39-year-old woman by the name of Tracy Wade. Tracy Wade was shot by white officers. Miss Wade is a black female. Okay? They don't tell you all of this stuff. Notice the race is conveniently not in there again, right? Because yesterday we had a black guy shoot a white guy. We can't talk about that. Now, this time you got white police that are out there shooting black people, but that's not going to matter either. So maybe they finally are at least being fair. I don't know. But anyway, the SWAT team went to serve a felony warrant, apparently at that address. And according to statements, when the SWAT team went to enter, Ms. Wade pointed a gun at the officers at that time. Apparently there were up to as many as 10 gunshots, and Miss Wade was shot dead, died at the hospital. Her crime? She had been found guilty of forgery and identity theft. Apparently, she said that she had a gun and a child in there, displayed the gun, and that's what killed her. So, you know, is that a situation that we need to be concerned with? No, I don't think so. I call it justice. She pulled a gun. That's self-defense. I've got no problem with the cops in this case. None at all. So although it was brought to my attention, I don't see anything to argue about here because it affected one person who pretty much put themselves in that position. What I do have problems with is what went on at Fern Creek High School and the way that now it's being shown as some kind of a test to the whole country of how great and wonderful we are, and everybody's missing the obvious. Nobody's paying attention to the things that created that situation in the first place. And, you know, quite frankly, I really ought to be ashamed or embarrassed of myself right now. I really do it. Maybe I owe my listening audience an apology. And I tell you why. Because apparently I'm the only one trying to determine the root causes of what could lead to this shooting, and I'm the only one who wants to sit here and ask questions about prevention and defense of our children. So maybe I'm not really the conservative that I thought I was. So I apologize because now I sound like a liberal. Isn't that what they tell us all the time? Do it for our children? Don't they try to tell us everything that you know they think is wrong? Don't they try to point out the obvious? And anytime something happens that they don't like, they try to say, well, the warning signs were there and we should have to do this. So then they want to go out. You know, if one guy beats his baby's ass, you know, then the whole world is a bunch of child abusers. So nobody can beat their baby's ass. That's what liberals tell you. So here I am telling you what that mentality has led to, and now it's hurting our kids. So I'm trying to do it for our children. I'm trying to bring attention to something that will help our youth, who in turn will grow up to be, you know, respectful, responsible adults for the next generation. And maybe, just maybe, you know, making society a better place. So I apologize to my audience for sounding like a liberal for a minute. It's what I truly believe, but my audience doesn't expect me to be a liberal. But since Democrats aren't liberals, and since Republicans today aren't conservatives, somebody has to play both sides here, right? So I'll be the social liberal today and hold true to my values and my integrity and my ethics. So to my conservative audience, I truly and humbly apologize. Some of you guys will buy that too. That's crazy. I tell you, you know, we've got other things going on. Over the past couple of months, we have talked about workplace training here in Jefferson County, here in Louisville, and what this would mean for us to be the catalyst and we would really be a role model for the rest of the country. Because manufacturing and a lot of companies like Ford Motor Company and things like that, they really don't have a skilled workforce to draw from. Well, over the last 2 years now, we have had a situation, and this is where the whole lawsuit with Mayor Greg Fisher and Jay Morgan, former Ford employee Jay Morgan, get involved in. This all started over a workforce training facility that Morgan had put the plans together for, had came up with millions and millions of available federal dollars, money that had already been allocated by the federal government to be used by somebody. He put together a funding mechanism and everything else and put together the plan to build a West End facility that was going to be a workforce training facility. It was going to give the employers what they needed. He did this working in conjunction with those like Ford Motor Company, General Electric, Reynolds Metals, and a whole bunch of other people around town. Lo and behold, after Mr. Morgan was terminated from Ford, allegedly because of slander and libel by Mayor Greg Fisher, and named in the lawsuit as well was Kevin Cosby, pastor of Simmons College, although to my knowledge, Mr. Cosby has signed a sworn affidavit, and they have accepted that as his testimony in this case. when we look at this picture, we have to say, wow, because the Courier-Journal puts a story out today talking about the same thing we've been putting out there for the last 2 years. Manufacturers in the Louisville area and across the nation are crying out for workers that have some sort of a mechanical skill and some good math skills and a good work ethic. Now, part of the workplace training facility that Mr. Morgan would put together, to my knowledge, after reviewing everything that goes with it, was going to involve classroom and OJT. In other words, what that means is workers are going to be trained at this facility, go to classes a couple of days a week to work towards the degree, all right, and the rest of the time they would actually be hands-on working. Well, lo and behold, according to this Courier-Journal story, an analysis by USA Today said that by 2017, there's going to be about 2.5 million new middle-class or middle-skilled jobs created in the U.S. Their estimate is that there will be over 18,500 new jobs created right here in Louisville. Now, these are estimates, folks. These ain't guarantees, and I'll tell you why these estimates are wrong anyway here in a minute. But what's happened in the last year, this is really comical. Because Courier-Journal is working with the Fisher administration and everybody else and trying to sell us this BS propaganda garbage. And they go on to say that in the last year, several Louisville manufacturers, including General Electric, Ford Motor Company, Reynolds Metals, Atlas, and Raytheon Company, teamed to address the industrial skills gap. What they're essentially saying is that all these companies have worked with the city of Louisville to produce a workforce training program where these particular people will be able to walk right into a job that's available now while going to school 2 days a week, and the remainder of the days of the work week, they will work at the job. This is comical. This is comical. They say this is similar to a program now underway in Lexington. This is all the workplace training facility that J. Morgan blueprinted and outlined. This is all what was brought to the BEAM initiative that included Greg Fisher and Jim Gray, Lexington. All they're doing is using his work after allegedly getting J. Morgan fired from Ford by libelous and slanderous behavior. Why do you think they are working in conjunction between Ford Motor Company and Greg Fisher? Come on. It's not rocket science. This is like looking at a coloring book that says paint by numbers or color by numbers. And, you know, brown is 1, orange is 2, yellow is 3. You just follow the numbers you put into color and you've got the whole scheme. This is incredible to me. This is why they continue the delay game. This is what the problem is. Because they know they're caught hook, line, and sinker. And this is what you have to love, because nobody gets to see any of this in the mainstream news. That's why we've been the ones majority or the ones that have been leading the way on reporting this through our independent news right here at MVM Radio and LouisvillePolitics.com. So that the Courier-Journal can sit and work with Greg Fisher and set this thing up to act like it's a new thing that Greg Fisher put together because he's following Jim Gray's lead in Lexington, none of which is true. Paul, you're on the air.
Good evening, gentlemen. Hey, listen, you alluded to Atlas Machine and Tool Company, which is a Southwest Jefferson County operation. You know, they're a long-time family business here in the Jefferson County area.
Rich Gimmel, yeah.
About a year and a half ago, I had a chance to meet Rich Gimmel. Great guy. He is the right man to be at the helm of that organization. But, Ed, he told me something that kind of ties in with what you're talking about regarding skilled training. He told me a year and a half ago that he could not find enough skilled machinists here in the Louisville area. Now, keep in mind, skilled machinist doesn't mean that you've simply gone through and completed your basic machinist training. You've actually had to be able to demonstrate a higher than normal amount of skill. And he couldn't find enough people here in the metro area. He was telling us then that their starting pay was in excess of $40,000 a year for the folks that he was having to hire, and that if your skill was even better, they were starting people at $50,000 a year. This is for a what used to be called was a job involving a skilled trade.
Well, so that's the thing.
Rich Gimmel and crew, I think that they're genuinely looking to improve the workforce here in the Louisville area. Now, he's a pragmatic guy. If he has to team up with some of the misleaders here in the government, he'll do it. But I'm going to tell you, Rich Gimmel, he's his own person. He is not going to be told what to do or how to do it. Trust me.
Well, my impression of Rich Gimmel would be very similar to that, although we would disagree on a couple of things that I won't publicly put out on air tonight. I will say this. That is why Southern Indiana and this region-centric mindset that Mayor Greg Fisher, who has all his business in Southern Indiana, and the GLI, who are basically the mayor's puppet boys, that's why this region-centric mindset doesn't work, because those places like Rich Gimmel's Atlas Machines, at one time or another, have looked or are currently thinking about the possibility of moving to Southern Indiana after the Bridges project is complete, because they can't get the workforce right here in Louisville and because of the cost of doing business right here in Louisville.
That cost of doing business.
It's all combined.
Jefferson County is at a huge competitive disadvantage, and you like to rail about the Democrat mafia being in charge of things in Jefferson County, Kentucky. Well, I'm in full agreement with that assessment. The rules, the laws, and the bureaucratic extortion and harassment in Jefferson County absolutely deters people from locating here. One of the largest big name warehousing operations, a company that you've heard of called Amazon chose to locate two distribution centers here in the area, neither one of which is in Jefferson County. One's in Bullitt, in Kentucky, and Park in Indiana.
And let's be real clear here, too. I want to make sure we have, because Amazon was actively seeking Jefferson County property. They were actively seeking Riverport, and we had plenty of room available. But Jefferson County made it so hard and such a hindrance, they went to Bullitt County because it was cheaper and easier to deal with the government population there. Go ahead.
A few years ago, I was active out in my part of the county seeking to bring businesses into southwestern Jefferson County that had never been there. One of the businesses that we ended up working with and attempting to help was an extended stay motel hotel chain called Value Place. I got to meet the project manager here and worked with him probably three or four different times over the course of a couple of months. Toward the end of the project, once they finally got approval from all the bureaucracy, I asked the man, I said, would you give me your candid assessment of doing business here in Jefferson County? He said, Paul, this has been without question, the hardest locale to get their building and plans approved than any place else they ever attempted it, that this particular guy attempted in the United States. So, I echo your frustration about the way our government and the government agencies they're under absolutely make it difficult for business to locate. And then if you want to fault the Jefferson County public school system for not preparing the kids to be able to acquire the necessary skills to get to make it attractive for these businesses, I'm with you there too. I'm in agreement
I blame the leadership, period. I tell you, there's something else, too, here to think about, folks, that nobody's even putting together yet. I have some sources that are high up the food chain at General Electric. And when I say high up the food chain, I'm meaning upper management people that would know. And what I'm being told is the same thing that we told you guys a few weeks ago. GE is leaving. That's a done deal. Electrolux, when they buy GE, the plan is to move them to North Carolina so that they will be located where their headquarters is right now. That is a done deal. We're going to lose 6,000 jobs right here at Appliance Park because of the failed leadership here. And there's a couple of things that I don't think anybody's paying attention to. When you go out and you give Ford Motor Company $240 million or thereabouts to keep a plant here that employs a little bit less number than what GE does. At the time, Ford was employing somewhere between 3,000 and 4,000 people at LAP, and GE is employing 6,000. You're giving them $240 million in tax incentives and everything else, and you're offering GE a paltry, 10-20 million at best. You just told the whole world you didn't care about GE. Now, GE is selling to Electrolux. Electrolux is not going to get any better deals than GE did. And Electrolux has already said behind the scenes they are going to North Carolina. They won't publicly announce that until the deal is closed. That's the truth. Now, here's the other alternative. Now, here's the other problem that we've got, Paul, because we have run into this once before in this town. It's when we moved LG&E downtown. Remember all the electric stuff that got moved to make room for the KFC Yum Center? That land that GE is sitting on is an environmental disaster. It's an environmental disaster. It's an environmental hazard. Once GE leaves, Electrolux comes in to take over, the new owners are going to be forced to clean up. They don't want that expense. This is another reason they're going to North Carolina. They're not going to get the hundreds of millions of dollars, and I would dare say up to maybe even $500 million to clean up that property. We've seen it cost a couple $100 million for a lot smaller property. You know, when you look at cleanup costs and everything else, and you look at the environmental disaster here, there wasn't a proper cleanup done at KFC Yum Center. That was smoke and mirrors. That was smoke and mirrors. We got a lot of contaminated dirt that they built a playground on right down here at the Greenwood Boat Docks. That was contaminated dirt that we let our kids play on right now. Wait 10 years until you see the cancer situation kick up from that. Okay, GE is an environmental disaster. That land is. So that land isn't going to be any good until it's reclaimed, which is going to take years and years and years. So we're going to lose 6,000 jobs. We're not going to be able to do anything with that land for a minimum of 10 to 15 years. Prime real estate, right? All by design because it's so hard to work with the city of Louisville and Jefferson County. And nobody's looking at those. So when I see this story in the Courier-Journal that led to all of this, talking about how GE is working with all of these people, I laugh. I laugh because I know the plan. I know the plan. I know what's wrong with that dirt out there. I know what's wrong with that land out there. When Electrolux says they have no intention of moving their corporate headquarters in here, the company typically, if they're going to have a plant of that size, they're going to have it close to corporate headquarters. It's not rocket science. It's cheaper to move corporate headquarters here than it would be to move a whole plant. But they're willing to take that move at the expense because they know what it's going to cost for the property they're moving on to. And this state and this city didn't do anything to make that situation any better. Is that pathetic or what? I've got Paul speechless now. That's incredible. I tell you, Paul, are you still there?
What they'll do, Ed, is that they will make it, they'll make it right for us, but they're going to make it right at our expense. Our government, both the state and the county and the city, will end up somehow getting title to that tract of land out there where that GE sits on, and they will remediate it. They'll get it fixed at taxpayer expense and then turn around and sell it to whomever they want down the road. Now, this is going
for
to take a while.
Yeah, for a dollar.
Well, they've done that before. They have done that
yes,
before. You're exactly right about that.
It's the same thing they've done at Colonial Gardens.
So
we put all that money into buying it, sell it.
The people who work and live in Jefferson County, Kentucky, are the ones that are absolutely going to get stuck with a monster-sized bill when Electrolux does relocate that particular division down to North Carolina.
You betcha. And that is the sad reality of what we live with here. And yet we still have leadership that continues wanting to talk about this region-centric mindset when the facts are that if we would be focused on Louisville instead of southern Indiana, we wouldn't have places like Atlas Machine who have at one time or another, I don't care what Rich Gimmel says, who have at one time or another entertained the idea of moving to southern Indiana because it's so bad to do business here. There's not one business in Louisville who hasn't went through that. Our own Ed Martin ended up putting his business in Bullock County because he could not work with the people here because they were too demanding. We wouldn't need to give Ford Motor Company a $240 million tax incentive to keep a plant here if we weren't screwing the pooch in the first place. All of those things add up, and now GE is going to have a reclaimed land before anybody can do anything there, and it's not going to happen. But nobody's telling you that, not mainstream, no. The liberal media here has to do exactly what they're told to do by the administration. Otherwise, they won't have any money. They won't have any advertisers or anything else. Believe me, I know what that feels like. I'm blackballed because of it. I've been flat out told that by businesses. The leadership has said, you can't advertise there. We'll make sure we have something happen to you. Who knows when a health department is going to show up at a restaurant unannounced? Who knows if IPL is going to come in here and find a zoning change or not? We never know what's going to happen with these divisions. Subtle little blackmail. I know that. I've been told that. That's why it's so hard to get funding. That's why we have this little donate button at LouisvillePolitics.com, and we rely on you to help us keep going so we can bring you the information that nobody else has. Paul, I appreciate your phone call, my friend. Thank you so much. We are out of time. Wow. This hour flies by. Folks, I tell you, I get sick and tired of all of the games that get played from the elected mafia, the Democrat mafia primarily right here. We're seeing the plan from Ford Motor Company getting involved in a private lawsuit for a reason with Greg Fisher. We're seeing our tax dollars illegally being used for that venture, in my opinion. That's something we're going to be looking into, and we're looking into each more every day. You know, I'm going to give you guys a copy of this case in my next story on this. I'm going to do that, and I'm going to outline for you exactly what the hell is really going on and what Ford is really scared of. And if Mark Fields or Bill Ford or anybody at Ford Motor Company doesn't want to answer the questions, that's fine. We don't care. We're going to outline it, and we're going to hold them accountable. And we're going to see what really happens in this town for this establishment. I get upset when I see a judge campaigning from the bench. I get just as upset when I see her husband, Joel Frocht, sitting there as a defense attorney, sitting with a key witness in a case that he's going to present before a judge. And nobody sees anything wrong with that. I have major problems with that. That's the Democratic mafia alive and well in this town. If the FBI isn't going to do their job and do anything about this kind of crap, then we'll expose the whole game. Because you know what? I don't care anymore. You hear me rant. You hear me do different things. You see me file charges. You see me go broke doing all of this stuff. The one thing they haven't broken is the man himself. And that's me, folks. They want the game established. They want the game out there. They want to be exposed. It's time to do it all. It's time to bring this town to its knees. But the best way to bring this town to its knees happens just about every November right here in Louisville. It's called the election. The best way to bring this town to its knees is get rid of every damn incumbent we've got and vote somebody new to office. Put term limits on these people. Hold them accountable to their piss-poor decisions. Fire the JCTA. Who gives a crap? Get rid of the teachers' union. They're the problem in our schools. Everybody says there's something wrong to have conservative values. What is wrong? What is wrong with teaching personal responsibility and personal accountability? What is so conservative about allowing discipline to get our children under control? What is so wrong by following the laws? Don't get me wrong. I didn't say Republicans here because we know Republicans are just as guilty as Democrats. It's the Uniparty. I'm talking about conservative values. I'm talking about conservatism as it should be. Resembles a lot of what libertarians talk about today. Smaller government, less taxes, more responsibility. I don't see that as anything more than a step in the right direction. Because the direction we've been putting up with from this two-party locked uniparty system hasn't done us one bit of good. You want to make a difference? Get involved in November. As far as my difference is concerned, get ready, Louisville. You ain't seen nothing yet. Y'all have a good night. We'll talk to you Sunday night. Kim Mullen will be here at 7 o'clock with his Liberty Unbridled show. Fascinating show, by the way. Ken was sick last week and ran a best-of show, which I thought was pretty good. He'll be back this Sunday live in studio. Make sure you tune that in. And I'll be back on Monday night, as usual, with the next edition of the Ed Springsteen Show. In the meantime, folks, have a great night. Have a great weekend. God bless.